Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Amen. Great singing. Good morning. Happy Thursday. All right. Give it up for Thursday. Well, we have the opportunity once again to be back in the book of James. We are now in James chapter 4. Yeah. Let's give it up for James chapter 4. Yes. How exciting. So we are continuing our series that we've been on all week through the book of James. I hope you've enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed it myself. It's been very challenging. I hope it's been challenging for you. About what it means to be the real deal, what it looks like to be an authentic follower of Jesus. And so I pray that you have been challenged in different areas in your life this week as we've talked about different lessons that James is teaching us about what a true follower of Jesus looks like. And we've looked at many things already this week. We've looked at things like having joy in trials, knowing that trials are God's way to produce character within us. We've talked recently about taming the tongue, how what we say can be very powerful, both for evil, but also for good. We've discussed how faith without works is dead or useless, that our works are a way for us to strengthen our faith in God as we bless others. And that is evidence for us, assurance, that we truly have faith in Christ. Last night, we talked about the idea of true wisdom, what it looks like to make the right choice, practicing good judgment. We talked about how wisdom ultimately is viewing life from God's perspective and how He is calling us to things like humility and grace as we interact with the people around us. Well, this morning we're going to talk about another subject, the next subject in the book that James brings up, and is the idea of submitting to authority, ultimately submitting to God. How many of you enjoy having authority in your life? Yeah, good, good. How many of you would rather do things how you want them to be done? Right? Fair, fair, right? Well, there is this tension that exists in our lives where we are constantly under others' authority, aren't we? Whether it's our parents, teachers, youth pastors, cabin leaders, right? We're under people's authority. And when someone has authority over us, it is our God-given responsibility to listen to them, to respect them, to obey them. And ultimately, that respect and obedience belongs to God. Ultimately, He is the ultimate authority over us. But it's not always easy, is it, for us to constantly submit to the authorities that God has placed in our lives. I mentioned earlier this week about some of my difficulties that I faced while I was in high school. And that high school, especially my junior year, was a low point in my life spiritually. I was not really following after God, and I was struggling in my faith. And one of the ways that I was struggling was with this idea of authority. I had a teacher. He was my phys ed teacher. He was my junior varsity basketball coach. And he was my varsity soccer coach. His name was Mr. Nelson. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, when I was in high school, it was the low point of my spiritual walk with God. especially my junior year. I was basically a punk who was very arrogant and prideful and thought that I always knew what was best. And I did not like to listen to authority. And Mr. Nelson was one of those people in my life that I did not give the proper respect to. And in fact, it so happens that in gym class, he was my phys ed teacher, as I mentioned, I would often get into arguing matches with him over some of the calls he would make while we were playing a game. One such example was during softball. We were playing softball in gym class, and I was playing shortstop, and someone hit a ground ball to me. I fielded it. I threw it to first, and I thought that the runner was out, but Mr. Nelson called him safe. And so I eagerly agreed with his call, and there were no issues. No, that's not what happened. I said, "What are you doing? That is ridiculous. What a horrible call. How could you make that call?" Person was clearly out. And so I just began to argue with Mr. Nelson to the point where he kicked me out of gym class. And I'll never forget, as I'm walking back to the locker room, I turn to walk. He says, "Matt, if you want to be a leader in soccer," he was my varsity soccer coach, it was my junior year, right? He said, "Matt, if you ever want to be a leader, you must learn to submit to authority." I thought, wow, that was pretty profound. But I was in a bad mood, and I was an arrogant jerk, and so I just, you know, stomped back to the locker room like a big baby. A couple months later, we're in the winter, still my junior year, and we're playing basketball in gym class. There were two guys in my class that played a decent amount of basketball on the varsity team, me and a guy named John Richards. Kind of a friend, you know, just kind of an acquaintance. He was a teammate. But when we played in gym class, we were put on opposite teams, right? Because a lot of the other kids that were in our gym class didn't really play basketball, so it made sense to make the teams even. So we're playing basketball in gym class. I'm at the top of the three-point line. I drive into the paint just past the foul line. I stop, I pull up, I go to shoot a jumper at the elbow. And John smacks my forearm. I mean, you can hear it. Big slap. Right? Big slap. I shoot. Because he hit my arm. He hit my arm. Big slap. It ends up short. I turn to Mr. Nelson and I say, "Are you going to call that foul? That's ridiculous." He said, "No foul. Just play on. No big deal." So in the midst of my arguing with him, the other team rebounded the basketball and made an outlet pass to John, and he's basically dribbling down toward the other end, and nobody is close to him. Nobody's on my team is running back to play defense. And so I said, fine. So I take off at a dead sprint following John. He gets to the rim, you know, kind of casually because he thought he had lots of time. And he's just going up for a simple right-handed layup, you know, just a simple easy bucket. So I'm digging after him. He goes up. I hammer his forearm with my fist. I hook him with my other arm, and I throw him into the base of the wall behind the backboard. I turn to Mr. Nelson, and I say, "Now that's a foul. I'm out of here." And I just walk out of the gym. I kicked myself out because I knew he was going to kick me out. This is not good. This is a low point of my life where I, you know, in my anger and frustration, could have really hurt John, who was my teammate. And I had just the worst attitude toward Mr. Nelson, who is an authority in my life. Thankfully, Mr. Nelson was very kind and patient with me. And when it came to the fall of my senior year, as we were building up to soccer, you know, going through our two-a-days and our conditioning and all of that, I got to meet with him, share a little bit of my shame and sorrow for how I had treated him. And actually, for my senior year of high school, I was named a team captain on the soccer team because Mr. Nelson was willing to extend grace to me, even though I was totally against him, disrespectful, and a jerk to his authority in my life. I'm wondering how often you may struggle, like I did, with submitting to authority. Maybe it's Mr. Nelson, maybe it's someone else. Maybe it's your parents, not a teacher or a coach. But whoever it is, submitting to authority and specifically submitting to God is an incredible and important lesson that James wants us to see today as we look at James chapter 4. So let's read verses 1 through 12 together. James chapter 4. We're going to read about the idea of submitting to God. Here we go. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace? Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? And so as we think about this idea of submitting to God, of submitting to authority, James brings up this idea of conflict, of fighting with other people, of not getting along. Just like I did not get along with Mr. Nelson. Maybe there are times where you are sort of battling against or warring with those whom God has placed over you in positions of authority. And so James wants us to know right off the bat what the source of that conflict is. And what does he say at the beginning of this passage? It is your own desires, your own passions that are at war within you. The source of my conflict with Mr. Nelson was not because maybe he made a bad call. The source of my conflict was my own pride and arrogance. This internal desire within me to be right. or to have things my own way, my own selfish desires. That's often the source of our conflict, isn't it? It's our own desires, our own passions. We desire and cannot have. But notice also that the source of our conflict is due to the fact that we don't ask God for the right things. Do you see what he says next? You do not have because you do not ask. When we go to God in prayer, what is it that we pray for? I want you to think about that. What does your prayer life look like? How often do you pray? And when you pray, do you pray repentance for sin in your life? Do you pray for the Spirit's help in overcoming your bad attitudes, your bad language, whatever that sin is? Or is prayer simply asking God what he can do for you? Do you ask when you pray for the right things? Or do you pray selfishly for your own wants and desires? James goes on to say, again, this source of conflict is also you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So not only do we not ask God for the right things, often we ask God for things with the wrong motives, with the wrong attitudes. Again, because we want our desires met. We want our wishes to be satisfied and not God's. And so James tells us, when you are struggling, when you are experiencing conflict with authority, first look at a mirror to find out who the problem is. So whether it's with your parents or a teacher, a cabin leader this week, or someone else, when you are experiencing conflict with authority, often is because of your own selfish desires. Just like I experienced throughout high school. And so this leads us then to a choice that James is telling us we must make in this issue of submitting to authority. Verse 4. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? James says, you have a choice. Will you submit to God, or will you choose the way of the world? The world is calling us to push God aside, to pursue your own desires, to do things your own way. How I responded to Mr. Nelson is how the world says I should respond. I should fight for what I want. Pride is okay. Arrogance is okay. And that attitude, James uses the word enmity. Enmity means enemy or opposed to. The world's way of thinking is in opposition with how God wants us to live. So rather than pursue my own desires, God is asking us to submit our desires to him. To submit to his authority over us. And we have a choice to make. And thankfully, did you catch this? God has given us the Holy Spirit that is yearning for us, that is desiring and able to rule over our lives if we allow the Holy Spirit to do that. When you place your faith in Jesus, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You are indwelled by the Spirit of Christ that He has given to you. And that Spirit, we are commanded to allow it to control us, because the Holy Spirit is perfect and good and right. And so we have this war within us between our own selfish desires, our own sin, and the Holy Spirit. And James is asking you, who's winning? Who's winning? Are you submitting to the Spirit? Or are you still doing things your own way, following the way of the world? And so in the next section, he challenges us in choosing correctly to submit to God. And in doing so, he actually gives us 10 commands. There are 10 commands in verses 6 through 10. The 10 commands, you can see them: submit, resist, draw near, cleanse, purify, be wretched, mourn, weep, let, and humble yourself. 10 commands that all basically deal with the same issue. Who are you placing in authority over you? And why is this so important? Did you see verse 6? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is for your benefit. Submitting to God benefits you. Submitting to God opens you up to God working in your life. So this is not, all right, you got to do what you got to do and submit to authority, and it's going to be awful. You're going to hate it the whole time. No, this is a freeing attitude. This is a posture of blessing that we can receive from God when we are willing to submit ourselves to authority, and specifically His authority. And so He calls us to submit to God, to resist the devil, again, to draw near to God, to cleanse our hands, to confess our sin, to purify our hearts, to be repentant for the mistakes and the sins and the evils that we commit. Verse 9, he calls us to be broken over our sin when he says, be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. That our sin should bother us. It should break us. We should not be satisfied with allowing sin to continue to be a regular part of our lives. And so he's asking us to weep over our sin. Verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. He will exalt you. And so this is the correct choice, but there's also an incorrect choice. And this is what he closes this passage with a warning. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? The danger, the incorrect choice, is to exalt yourself, to make yourself more important, and then to go around and say, yeah, you're not really saved, you're not really saved, you're not a Christian, you're going to hell. That's what these people were doing, that he's speaking out against. This idea of judging here is the idea of condemning someone to hell. This is not, oh, I see my friend, he made a bad choice. I go up to him and I say, hey, I see this sin in your life. I think you need to confess this sin. That's not what this is, this judging. this judging is, you know what? You're not good enough for God. You're not like me. I'm judging you. I'm condemning you to hell. That's what this judgment is. You become the one who gets to decide, okay, yep, you're okay. No, you're not okay. Do you have any right to do that? No. Only one person is the real judge. And that person is Jesus, who is able to save and to destroy. And so he challenges us to not elevate ourselves into thinking, okay, we are the ultimate authority. We get to decide who's good and who's not, when only Jesus has that authority to do so. Our big idea for this morning: I could submit to the world or to God. That's the choice you must make. Submitting to the world leads to sin, to death, to destruction, to being an enemy of God. But submitting to God leads to joy, to blessing, to God's exalting of you. It's kind of an easy choice, isn't it? Your way leads to destruction. God's way leads to blessing and joy. So we look to the example of Christ as we close. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, Jesus is led into the wilderness in order to be tempted by the devil. And you'll notice here that basically Satan is begging Jesus to be his own authority, or to submit to Satan's authority, the world's authority, or Jesus can submit to his Father with these three temptations that he faces. Let's read this passage together as we close. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Jesus was given the choice to submit to the devil and the world's authority, or to submit to God. Three times he is tempted by the devil, and three times Jesus chooses to submit himself to the Father. This is the challenge, this is the choice for us today. Will we submit to the world, to the devil, to our own desires and sinfulness? Or will we choose to submit ourselves to God's authority? Our faith response for this morning: first, purpose to submit to God rather than yourself. This needs to be an intentional choice. James is calling you to make a decision. Will I submit to God, or will I submit to myself? Will I go my own way, or will I go God's way? Will I choose the world, or will I choose Jesus? And then secondly, trust in and ask for the Spirit's help with following through with that choice. Thankfully, we do not have to follow through with that decision under our own strength and our own power. But rather, we have the Holy Spirit within us who we can submit to, who can help guide us as we seek to humble ourselves before God and His authority. Don't be like me in high school and be a jerk that is proud and arrogant and just wants his own way. Instead, submit to the authorities in your life, especially to God, in humility, and experience the joy and the blessing that comes from that. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.